Continuing on, purposefully made. Purposefully made. Once again, the purpose of this, and we kind of went over the beginning part of this, is to let everybody understand each and every one of us were made for a purpose. First of all, as a whole, to serve God. But secondly, each individual, each one of you, was made for a specific purpose. Okay? And now, unfortunately, we didn't come out with a tag on us. And we have to find out what that is by knowing God. In our relationship with God, we know what our particular purpose is. Now, the difference with that purpose is, and this is where we've gotten distorted when we've taken on the world's ways. The world's ways is to mold our kids into what we would like them to be instead of molding them to be godly. Now, why is that dangerous? Because when I mold you to be what I would like you to be, what if that's God saying, that's not what I intended you to be? In fact, that's not what I made you to be. And that's why a lot of people struggle, because that's not what he made you to be. But when a person grows into what God intended them to be, then you can be used by him. That's why when we read the last verse about how we get ourselves ready. In fact, we'll read in 2 Timothy on your page. Two verses up from where we left off, 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 21, where it says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Now, the house represents the world. The articles represent us. And he's saying, so in this world right now, there are two, just think of it now, there are two items. And he breaks it down. Some are for noble purposes. Some are for ignoble purposes. And then he makes it very clear. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, in other words, if I cleanse myself from being ignoble or used for the worldly purposes, in other words, I cleanse myself where he says no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, then I can be transformed. It says, then it says he will be an instrument for noble purposes. The thing I love about that is an instrument. That means now I'm basically, when I stop being used by the world, I realize, okay, God, no, I want you to use me. Not, God, let me work and you bless me in what I do. I want to be an instrument for noble purposes. And look at this, made holy, so it's something that happens to me, useful to the master. And that's a big thing. A lot of us are not useful because we keep trying to do it our way, trying to do what we want. Do y'all see that? That's where we fail. We have our own agenda, our own plan, our own focus, and prepare to do any good work. What is good? God. I told you years ago, my first thing I wanted to think of, I said, I'm going to get to a certain part and I'm going to go into poor neighborhoods and I'm going to make it equal for them, for the poor to have what the people rich have. And that was my ministry. And I thought that was going to be a great ministry. And I remember that was a dream of mine. And it would sound noble when I would tell people that, they would say, man, that's a great thing. Now, as time went on and I prayed about it and I kept going, I'm like, God, when are you going to open up doors? But the one thing I still kept asking is, but not my will, but your will. Okay, and I'm making that very clear. He made very clear to me of, so now, what if you succeed in what you said you wanted to do? Now you get the people that were poor and you make them rich and they die. What did you do? I just made them rich going to hell while they were just poor going to hell. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay, I was investing in the wrong thing. I'm thinking, for some odd reason, just like the world does, if they're successful, won't they go to church and serve God? No, you have a lot of successful people that are further away than God than people who are unsuccessful. And it really made me rethink, okay, but see, that was Keith's agenda and not me going, God, what would you have me to do? Do y'all get this? Okay, and even when I would encourage each other people, I would encourage them in the world's agenda, and not just find out what God would have you to do. Does everybody get this? Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, that's why when we read the next verse, most importantly, stop looking for godly things to do, but be godly in whatever you do. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all in the glory of God. It almost helps parenting if parents realize, I'm just supposed to raise my children to be godly, period. Everything else will fall into place from there. What we try to do is raise our kids to be successful, raise our kids to be this, raise our kids to be that. And we try to add all these other elements, while the godliness ends up being one of those little parts that exist inside. Now realizing the godliness covers everything. Remember the verse that says physical training has some value, but godliness has value for all things, for this life and the life to come. So if I train them to be godly, it's going to guide them in the right success path, but it's going to guide them in the right path that God made them for. We struggle today because we invested so much in self and much less into God. Does that make sense? Very few Christians know their gifts and die that way because we keep investing in self. So now we're going to know our God-given purpose. That's the section we're under now. Any questions? I know Deacon Vic had a question, so I'll let you ask now.
On the part where it says God planned exactly when and where you were born. Can
yes.
you go over that again?
Absolutely.
So I just want to understand, does that mean you're not supposed to leave there?
No. Okay, that's a good question. I get what you're saying. You said, can I move? All right, so that's actually a very good question. That is okay, so Acts 17, 26 to 28. I don't know if he's giving hints here, y'all, so we got to keep it on. Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to go somewhere, since it's somewhere warmer. He was cold enough. Okay. He said, it says, for one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So nowhere does it say can't move. He's saying like, so where you were born in the situation you were in, just like the verse in 1 Corinthians 7 where it says, if you're a slave, don't be troubled with it. If you can, do it. What he's saying, so if you make these decisions, just like going back to glorifying God, sometimes doors will open, sometimes they will not. Do you understand? You have some people that will say, I'm moving, there's this opportunity, doors open, amen. But even in that, I have to glorify God. Other ones, I'll try to move down south, and it'll never happen. Every time I try to move, I can't find a job, can't find a place to stay, things won't happen. It's not meant for me to go. Do you understand? Where I'm depending on him. The whole purpose is where he put us, and especially we're talking about cultured time. We're talking about more of, we're in this era, and we happen to be in America. We happen to be in the, you got where I'm coming from? We happen to be this race. You happen to be, what you are, he made you that, for a purpose. So don't go, why can't I be? How come I couldn't be? Why? That's what we can't do. Do you understand that? When you have an opportunity to move or change it to a certain way, then you do it as long as it's not against his will. Do you understand that? Not, I mean, that would be even be, because you have some that are born, unfortunately, as corrupt as the flesh is, you have some that are born saying they would wish they were another sex. Now, we know that goes against God. So that's never in his will. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Okay, so we can't distort that. But if a person says, I was born in Texas and I want to move to Florida, then some of the doors are open, some it will not. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's putting it out there. But you always say, put it out there, not my will, but your will be done. Does that make sense? The sum? Marvelous matter.
So why did you highlight?
Wait.
Why did you put in bold exact places?
Huh?
Why did you put in bold exact
places? Why did I put in bold exact places? Because in the places that he allows us to be, he put us in these, when I say exact places, think of it as more times or more areas, like American, I happen to be born in this place. You understand? Now, what I do during that time of my life doesn't mean I have to stay there. But I was born in America. I could have been born in Africa or born in Europe. Do you understand? So I was born or placed in the spot where I was put for a purpose. Exact places mean some are going to be born into poverty. Some are going to be born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Some are going to be, do you understand that? These can never be the excuses of he put us there for that exact. Now, what we do with our lives ministry, just like the disciples, some traveled, some stayed, some, do you understand where I'm coming from? Okay? He didn't say stay. He's saying he put us there for a certain reason. So I can never take that and go, well, God, I would have been a better person if you would have. You see where I'm going with this? No? Yeah, don't give her a mic. So the key it's showing us, yes, you can. Everybody can move. You can do anything you want. Because remember, it says everything is permissible. Yes.
So going back to the part about the treasures, when everybody's talking about moving, could you be also placing your treasure in? Oh, I went and visited, I don't know, Iceland.
Yep.
Now I just want to move to Iceland.
All right. But, don't give her a mic either.
What could I be basing that on? Like, see my treasure on that. And you say like doors open, but maybe not necessarily you're supposed to go, you're supposed to stay.
Okay, excellent point. The point of it is, the way you'll know the definite is, the way you can really stay in, if it is or not, even if doors open or not, is for one word. What's that word?
Purpose.
Why are you doing it? Why are you making the decision that you're making? Do you got where I'm coming from?
But don't most of us do it just because we want to and we can?
Exactly. And that's why we're in the position we're in. If we lived our lives focusing and looking in God's will, this would always play into it. Now, we know God's will by following. How do we know God's will? We already know that answer. I think everybody knows that. I don't have to ask y'all. Okay, good. Amen. All right. So when we do that, then you'll see the difference between desired decision versus God's will in a decision. Do you understand that? And God opens up doors sometimes as tests to make sure that your faith is in the right place. So he will sometimes allow things to happen only for you to go, why did you do that? Things will fall into place. They'll seem like they work out. You know what I mean? Like I said, one reason why we did the order of my steps was a lot of people based on, we just think when God's in your life, it just falls into place. Well, it did exactly that with Jesus being born. Of course, the most important thing, hopefully you're watching everything that can go wrong did. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, you're pregnant. Okay, you're not pregnant. Oh, we can't get a room. All right, I'm going to go in a barn. I mean, you think this is Jesus. You're thinking God would make it. I'm going to make it perfect for him. And he didn't. But it worked out because their purpose was to serve him. Do y'all get this? And if you go to the Old Testament, you see that many times. Sometimes he made it to his obstacles they had to take, but the purpose was to serve him. And that's the same thing with us, to serve him. If that makes sense.
I know you gave an example before that someone moved, and instead of looking for a house and all this, they said they had to find a church home.
Exactly.
They based everything on that. So that's kind of
perfect example.
To Iceland, but yep. Before I move, I'm going to go up here.
I'm going.
Make sure I can
have a church fee. Yes. And it was a person who said that. He said when his company was sending him away, he went and he said he was supposed to go house hunting. He went church hunting. He went out there and went to churches. He got to read literature. He listened to the sermons. He got CDs the whole time. No house. When he found the one, he said, this one I'm going to be fed in. That's where we're moving. Where we're moving to. I will find a place. We'll find a place. I'm going to talk to the pastor. I'm going to let him know we're moving here. They'll tell us what but you know what I mean? It was all on, this is our home. You understand? I want to come and I want to serve. What we do is look for the perfect house, go look at the schools, make sure the job is nice, the area, and hopefully there's a church. And you'll have some that'll never find a church. Now, something was wrong. Do y'all get that? All right, so that's where he's already answered for you. So absolutely. Do you understand that? So keep that in mind. That's a very common practice, especially today because we have so many freedoms. Everything's permissible. So it's not wrong. Just know what you're doing. But where you were born is what this is talking about. Where you were placed, where you started, God did that purposely. It doesn't explain why. That's why some were born in slums in New York or whatever. Some were born in the beautiful foothills of Pittsburgh. You know, it could be any one of those. however you look at it. Or the slums of New England, I can say. But you understand... What do you understand? The point I'm putting to you is all overall, where he put us was a reason. Where you started was a reason. Don't use that as your excuse. And that's what some of us tend to do. It's because I wasn't born like them is why I don't have. Nope. Where you were born, exactly what God had intended. He did it for a reason, and it was to reach out to him. Does that make sense? Every circumstance, everything. Amen? Doesn't determine where you're going to go. You determine where you're going to go based on your purpose and his will.
And it has to do with times too.
Times too, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So Sister Radia asked, does it have to do with the times? Also, yes, we're born in a certain era, so that's why I can't try to act like I'm living back in the 60s, dress like, or you know, you could dress like you want, but you understand, some people look at old times, I wish I was, or we try to be futuristic, or we try, no, be what you be, you're in this culture at this time right now. You know what I mean? One thing I hear people say, and I get what they're saying. Every time I see people, they're always on their phone. That's this time. So then I should know, okay, that's how I have to communicate. Not, doggone people, I'm never communicating. You just missed an opportunity. God put you in a time where there's technology. Praise God, use the technology. He's not going to blast you for it. Yeah, it might be a problem with it. But you don't bash it, go, this is how they're communicating, that's how I'm going to minister. Do you understand what I mean? If it's not going against God, oh, so I see this is what they're using, I'm going to minister that way. So I'm going to learn how to use a computer. I'm going to learn how to use social media in the right way. I'm going to learn, you understand that. And I know the dangers of it, so I know what to stay away from. I know what to... So you take it because that's the time he put you in. Don't go back in the day. There's a verse that even says it's unwise to say that. I think it's in Proverbs where it says it's unwise to say back in the day it was, you know, we didn't do this or something like that. And we tend to say it all the time. I thought I would never say that. Until I heard this one song that came on the radio. Everybody saying it's one of the greatest songs that's out right now. And I hear it. Every time I hear it, it makes me cringe. I'm not going to say it. But it was just, I was like, what is the person saying? It was driving me crazy. And in my mind, I said, that's not music. And I heard my grandfather go, that's not music. I'm like, oh, man, look what happened, King Granddad. So, but the other thing that hit me is for people to really like that song, and here I become disconnected from it, I miss an opportunity. Do y'all see this? Okay, so yes, the times and everything. He put you here for a reason. Okay? Utilize what the here is. Amen? Okay? Because you're going to have some people that are in countries they can't get out of. And you're going to have some that are in countries they can't get out of, and they do get out of it. And you go, remember, our purpose has to be right. Things are going to happen. Situations are going to open. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Did that help? Okay, hopefully. Yeah, I know it's a complex one, so. Did it help you, Sister Marva? We got to watch Victor move. I don't know where he's moving, and Rudia wants to move to Iceland. I don't know why Iceland.
Baltimore.
Oh, he wants to move to Baltimore.
New York.
Now, that was my dream. New York was my dream place at one point in life. I used to tell Lisa I was going to take her to the country because she said she wasn't going to move to it. And I said, I'm going to New York. I have to live in a box. But I'm All right, so... So now, how do I know my God-given purpose? How am I supposed to know this? So first of all, it starts off, all gifts, services, and outcomes are ordained by God and come from God. Now, we went through this, so I want to go through it again. Or maybe we didn't. I think I went through it with another group. But so in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, he first breaks down how he works spiritually with us. Okay, now look at what he says here in the first part. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now watch what he does here. He's first letting you know there are different kinds of gifts, but they come from the same Spirit. So my gift is not going to be the same as your gift, but it comes from the same source. And secondly, my gift and your gift comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from my genetics. It doesn't come from my background. It doesn't come from me practicing. It comes from God. Do you understand that? So the way I engage my gift is by engaging God. The way I use my gift is by depending on God. Do y'all get this? Okay, so that power comes from God. Only Christians can have gifts. Everybody else has talents. Both of those come from God. Okay, but the gifts are mainly used for God. Now, so that's the what I get. And each of us have different ones. But then it goes, there are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. So now services means now how I conduct or do my gift. But there's only one Jesus. Remember, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So I got to do my gift the way Jesus does it, not the way I see fit. So now I first know my gift, and then I use it the way he does. Think of it this way. So I get a Maserati, somebody else gets a Lexus, somebody else gets a Honda, somebody else gets a Pinto. Okay, we'll give Uncle the Pinto. He doesn't mind it. There you go. He loves it. All right. But now we all have to drive our cars like Jesus. Just because I have a Maserati, I can't go 100 miles an hour if Jesus didn't go 100 miles an hour. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? So now I have to now have a relationship with him to know, well, then how did you drive? I can't go. I have a Maserati. Keep up, Pinto. I can't do that. You know what I mean? I can't do that. All right. My job is to, how did Jesus drive? So it's in the same service. Okay. So now my gift is the car. I follow his direction on how to do it. But look at the third one. The third one is where you lay your hands off It says there are different kinds of workings. That means the outcome. But look where the outcome comes from. But the same God works all of them in all men. Why is that so important? Because I have my gift. I do my gift what Christ is, and then I step away. Are y'all catching that? So I have my gift. I present my gift the way Christ says it, and then I step away. We're gonna see that. Y'all know the verse we're going to go to with that. And this is so important. Where we've messed up is we think we have to save the person. We have to fix the person. We have to change the person. And when I don't see a fix and when I don't see a change and it's not working, then I'm going to add a little bit of this. I'm going to take a little bit of this. I'm going to change this. And we messed up. Why? Because we're trying to be God. Understand, fixing or helping a person is just like getting revenge. All right. He tells us our part in it. Just play your part. Okay? It's like a nurse going in and they prep the patient. That's their job. But what if they start cutting open the patient and saying, I think I know what I'm doing? Now, that's a clear example. I don't give too many of those, so praise God when I get that. Okay, so that's a good example there. And so you understand in that example where it's showing us that you can be in trouble trying to do more. Now, the nurse could have meant well, but now the nurse probably killed the patient. Do you understand that? And that's what we do to so many people, because he says, you got a gift, do exactly what Christ did. And even Jesus says, I don't judge. I just tell you what the Father says. I do exactly what my Father tells me. There's a couple of verses where he basically says, I do nothing unless the Father tells me. Do y'all get that? Think of the significance of what Jesus said. He said, I don't go beyond what my Father tells me. That's all I'm doing. And I watch my Father, and that's exactly what I'm doing. That's it. We think we're partners with him. That's why I used to hate that God is my co-pilot. Because he's not. He's in complete control. I'm in coach, letting him fly the plane. Do y'all get this? Okay, and that's how we have to see our lives. Okay, so it's God that makes them grow. So that's how we have to see gifts. We are just instruments. I'm only used when he chooses to pick me up, and I'm done when he chooses to put me down. Does that make sense? So all I'm learning is, God, what would you have me to do? Does everybody catch that? Everybody with that? Very, very important. Okay? And it says, now, in verse 7, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given for the common good. We usually use the word common in other words, like common sense, common man, things that are common to man. You know what I mean? So, but this is common good. God is good. So they're all, our gifts was given to us for God. For the common good, which is God. Do you understand that? So we use it just for that. Unfortunately, you'll have some that use it for other reasons. To bring more people in. To make themselves look good. To build their resume. To sell more books. I can go down the list of things that they're doing. Is it necessarily registering God? Does it mean it won't work? Not necessarily. It'll still work. It's just they're using it for the wrong purpose. Do you understand it? And they're going to answer to God for that. And then he breaks down some of the gifts. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. He keeps saying it's the same source. Different people are going to have different things. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. Like now, when we read in 1 Corinthians 14, it tells a person who can speak in tongues to pray for interpretation. Doesn't mean he's going to give it to you. It's saying you should ask for that because they work hand in hand. But how we work, we're part of a what? Body. So even more so what we should be doing, if I speak in tongues, I need to be in the body with somebody that interprets if I'm going to use it that way. Tongues was never meant to be some language that I use. We've turned it and converted it and changed it and made it some spiritual, mystical thing in the wrong way. Many people use it in the wrong way that the Bible never said to use it. And it's dangerous because now we're distorting God into witchcraft. Very dangerous. Do you ever want it? Marvin has a question.
As a Christian, we all should have faith, but what is the gift of faith? What's the difference?
So, okay, exactly. So now, having faith, remember, is that truly 100% trusting in God. The person who has this, it'll come so easy to them. Us, we have it, but we still struggle with it. So the person who has the gift of faith will usually be a leader in a very let's put it this way, disruptive, a way that faith wouldn't normally be. I mean, you know, I mean, he'd be the one that would usually lead in that. He's gonna be a leader to guide other people in faith. But you'll see their faith almost seem to come easy. Because one thing about your gift, it'll come easy to you. So this person's faith will come easier to them than others. All of us should have faith, but this person's faith will seem to come easy because now their faith is actually incorporated. It's strengthened by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Our faith is something that we have to be used to strengthen us. Okay, so this person first has faith to get God, but that gift they get is a faith. So you'll see them go out of their way sometimes to do something because they have a gift of it. And they're usually leaders in a gift walk or a gift situation or whatever to guide others in faith, if that makes sense. Does it help? Okay. Other questions? Okay, and then it ends in verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, watch this, just as what? Did y'all see that? Just as he determines. You know how many times growing up I used to hear people almost like they were going in a grab bag saying what kind of gift they have. Oh, I have the gift of, and they would always say the desired gift. Sometimes people will go, no, I'm not doing that. Now stop for a minute. Please be careful, because I remember I heard somebody say, God will never give you something you don't desire. Is that in the Bible? But sounds good. Some of you have a gift with something you'd rather not do. Do you understand that? Your gift, something you'd rather not do. I do not like speaking in front of people. Do not. Do you understand that? But it falls into what my gift is. Do you understand that? Okay? And it's something, and it's not, has nothing to do with my desire. It has everything to do with God's will. You remember what happened with Moses? Because he said, I'm going to be your lips. I'm going to be this. And Moses gave up enough where he said, okay, we're going to do it through Aaron then. And he was angry at Moses because he's basically saying, no. It has nothing to do with what you desire. It has nothing to do with your fear. But a lot of us will not know our gifts because of what we don't desire, or what we fear. And two dangerous things. Because he's the one who gave it to you. Y'all understand this? Keep that in mind. Okay, so it's not a grab bag of where I get to pick. I already have it. When I was born, Keith, you're a hand. At least you're a foot. Somebody else is an eyelash. Somebody else is going to be. Do you know what I'm saying? You are already made. Now, my job is just to get to know God so I know what I am. That's what I'm supposed to. Not, okay, God, I want to be, even though I just said I'm a hand, or I want to be a neck bone. I don't know why. But you understand that? And he's saying, no, I already told you what you are. So I'm growing up and I'm molding myself to be a neck bone. And God's like, okay. And now you're just wasting your life and you're struggling and you're having a hard time with God and you're frustrated. Why? Because you're trying to do it your way and you want God to bless it instead of trying to find out his way. Did we get this? Make sense? Amen? Okay. So then it says, understand. Now, first understand that you play a part and you're a part of a whole. It says we are part of a whole and we do not get to choose what part. We are to know what part God made us for. 1 Corinthians 12, we start in 14. It says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. This is what it's saying. You can say, since I'm not what this person is, I'm not part of the body. You're still part of the body. You just become a worthless part of the body. You're still a foot. You're just the worthless part of foot because you're not doing what the foot's supposed to do. Does that make sense? Think of the, now I want you to go back to the thing of the talent. Okay? Because the guy got one talent. Instead of saying, why did the other one get 10, the other one get 5, I only get 1. He gave you one talent for a reason. If you go back and read that again, he says he gave it to them according to their ability. Get a chance, you read that thing, according to their ability. Your ability is what he made you for. So you were meant to have one talent, man, thrive in that one talent. You don't go, well, how come I only have one and they got 10? How come I'm a foot and they get to be a hand? Do you understand where I'm coming from? So he said, you can't say, because I'm not a hand, I don't become part of the body. You're still part of the body, but your rewards and how your life is going to be is based on how you are as a foot. It says, if the whole body... I'm sorry, and then verse 16, it says, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Now God's kind of giving you a little bit of what his plan is. I'm making a body. That's what he's saying. He's just a reason why I've just made parts, and you're just a part. Y'all get that? Amen? I heard somebody say something. Okay. Smell me. It says, but in fact, and watch this, verse 18. It says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them. Everybody say every one of them. Just as what? He wanted them to be. Did he say some of them? No, he said, you were born exactly where he wanted you to be. So what do I just need to know? Where I'm supposed to be, right? And what I'm supposed to do, and what I am, right? And all of that is in Christ. You see how that works? So I learn to be godly, I'll know where I'm supposed to be, what I am. That's where I live a God-purposed life. Do y'all see this? Okay? It says, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. It also shows us that you as an individual can't do it. All of us are lacking because we're part of. You can be the best hand on earth, but you're worthless if you don't find a wrist. Right? Which finds an arm, which finds a shoulder. You don't know where I'm going with this. Okay? So it goes on. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You can't say that. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Y'all see this? Okay? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. It says, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Let me explain what he's saying here. Some of the parts today that are going to get a whole bunch of honor down here now, okay, and the parts of the body that are going unnoticed, the ones that are going unnoticed are the ones that are going to get the biggest rewards. The ones that are getting the biggest honor down here are going to get the least rewards. Did y'all get that? Okay? In other words, that's why he says seems. We'll see it. Man, I can't wait to be a... God's looking at that whatever that, you know, we look at the earlobe and we say, what is that for? It's there. God made it. You function as a great earlobe, man. Your reward's going to be huge. Why? Because you were in a part that everybody else didn't honor, but man, you did it for God. But the person who is whatever an eye or whatever, and we think eyes are beautiful and eyes are this and eyes are that, and you look at eyes and they're getting praised down here, they're going to get a reward if they do it well, but it's not going to be as big as the earlobe. Do y'all get this? Trying to give y'all some visuals here. Okay. So you understand. We're going to stop there. But do you understand the part where he's showing where it says, but God has combined. So not only did he make them and tell you what you are, he's the one who put you together. So right now, FSG is just a part of the body. But we happen to be here in this church under this situation. This is where we're split. He combined us in this part here. So he says he combined the members of the body as his members of the body. So he put us in that. So now we have to function with the body. Do you understand that? Now, it gives you a better view of life and how life should work. Where we get messed up is when we look at life as individual success or individual outcome. And the reason why we struggle is we still keep looking at individuality. That's where 1st and 2nd Timothy show. You know, 2nd Timothy 3, where it says, latter days will be perilous times. All of those are individual parts. Lovers of themselves, you know, rude, whatever the other things are. But it's things that are based on self. This is talking about that equal concern. That's why it says each part, there should be no division. This first thing it says, but the parts should have equal concern for each other. Any questions? Yes. Wait, he'll get you a mic. Yep. You gotta walk to Iceland. Okay.
Can I go back to the scripture before to another faith by the same Spirit? And I want to know if it has any relationship to Romans 12:3, I guess it were. He says it's written 12:3 about we're each given in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given us.
Yes. Yes. Now,
what does that have to do with that?
No, this is okay. Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. Everybody's given a measure of faith. Now remember, we walk by what?
Faith.
So my faith, if I walk by faith, it'll let me know exactly what God would have me to do and where I'm supposed to go. When I go beyond my faith, That means I'm walking now, I'm using intelligence, I'm using culture, I'm using something else. Each of us have a different level of faith. Only God, only Christ, I mean, had the fullness of faith. That means he had the complete package. So now, in my faith works in accordance with your faith, and it comes together. So as a hand, think of, once again, using the body parts, my faith only goes as far as what the function of a hand is supposed to do. That's all I'm supposed to do. Do you get where I'm coming from? If when I function in that way, then I'm reacting in faith. However, when me being a hand, I try to then be what the arm does and what the eye does, I'm acting outside of faith. That's not my expertise. So that's different than this, because this gift of faith is that, once again, it's going to be a higher level of what we all should have. Do you understand? So that hand, this person who has a hand, he'll still just be a hand. However, his level of doing it, you'll see almost an extra, why is he able to do it with such ease? Okay, most gifts will come with ease once you get them. They'll just kind of, it seems like I didn't have to work. Exactly. You're just an instrument. You know what I mean? What instruments have to work hard? Name an instrument that has to work hard. None, Pastor. No, the person, when they play with the trumpet is blown by the person. When the piano is played, it's played by the pianist. Do you understand that? The instrument does nothing. It's just, you just better be tuned right. You just better be ready to be used by him. Do you understand that? So when I'm ready, I'm tuned. Do you understand that? And that's where I'm saying. So the person who have the gift of faith, you'll just see him when he reacts in faith, it'll be smooth. But he's usually one that's going to lead others in faith. That's going to be a big thing in that. But the person, but I'm glad you used it, because that's coming up next week, the verse you just read. In fact, that's the exact next verse we're reading, if you notice on your paper.
Praise
God.
I'm just trying to get it all.
You see how that worked? Because of Marva?
Because of Marva.
So, amen. See, her part is to be blamed. All right. Any other questions? Yeah, so we'll even go over that even more. Romans 12:3, and it'll kind of break that up and show how that works, because that's very important. So everybody good? All right. Let's pray.